some things to talk about with the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Here's Ross Atkins. Mr. Atkins, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys. How are you guys today?
We're doing fine. I know it's been a busy day for you, and obviously we want to spend some time talking about the Melvin Upton Jr. trade, and I know you've talked about it all day long in the media conference and all that other stuff.
That's all right. No problem.
Okay, so some of this is an insurance policy. Some of this is a guy who can play late innings, be a defensive replacement, can hit against left-handed pitching on occasion. It allows you to make some moves in terms of maybe having Upton play in the outfield, Batista DH, Encarnacion at first base. There are options that are created here that the manager will take advantage of. But how much of this deal is looking ahead to 2017? Not only does this guy help you this year, but he gives you an experienced outfielder in the event you don't have three experienced outfielders when you get to camp next year.
It really isn't about that. This trade, that's just an added bonus to the deal. It provides us some depth next year, too. I think the upside of next year is nice, but it's really more about balancing out how we can make our team better for today to maximize this window of opportunity. And that's just an added bonus in the acquisition. So there are other players that are similar where, you know, that comes into play in what you actually pay to get to the player.
Right.
But really our focus has been, making this team better, creating some depth in any way that we possibly can. Complementing our roster with speed and defense was a priority. And Melvin does that for us. So, you know, it's the addition of next year to his contract, believe me, there is value there, and we are very glad to have him here next year. But really, the focus over the last month has been, let's maximize this window that we have today.
You are the general manager. You are your task is to acquire players. Your manager is manages those players, makes decisions on roster spots and who plays and when they play. And I don't doubt that you cross paths or sometimes cross swords on various issues from time to time. But I'm wondering this, with a player like Upton and the way you see him being used, would you go to Gibby while you're in conversation with San Diego and just say, look, we got a chance to get this guy. What do you think, and how do you think you would use them?
That's a great question, and I that's the only way I know how to do business, is to get input from every angle. And seemingly, prior to that acquisition, that would be, you know, his insight, his thoughts on that, and how it fits or doesn't, I would view as very important. So absolutely, I did. The challenge becomes things move quickly. Alternatives
sure.
are in front of you. You have to make decisions. And, you know, fortunately we had the opportunity to do that. So, you phrased it perfectly. And it is how I approach this role, is that it's his job to think about winning today. And it's our job in the front office to think about sustaining it over year in and year out.
As you go towards the non-waiver trade deadline, is pitching now still a priority, whether it be augment the bullpen or another starter?
Absolutely, yeah. It was yesterday, too. We just happened to have the opportunity to acquire Melvin at an acquisition price we felt good about. So we are extremely at least working extremely hard at this point on trying to improve our team. And now our focus really shifts harder to the pitching market, which really hasn't developed on the starter front, and where it's gone on the reliever side. it doesn't have to come down, but we certainly would appreciate it if it did, because man, it's a hefty price to pay for a reliever right now.
Are you flexible in terms of that, in terms of augmenting the starting rotation, bringing in somebody from the bullpen? Is it just whatever deal makes the most sense in terms of what you have to give up? Because you mentioned even with the Upton thing, that was a value trade. It's something that, you know, no offense to the prospect that you gave up, but given the money that reportedly San Diego is eating on this deal, plus the player that you get, that's a value trade.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose so. I think it would be viewed as a fair deal in the industry, and you know, I think there's upside for San Diego too in the position that they're in. They're looking for young, controllable players and looking to give other young players in AAA an opportunity. And they did take some money off the books. So, but for us, we do feel like the deal made sense. But ultimately, value at this point is less important than winning. When you get both, that's when you're really excited about a deal.
All right, let's get straight to it. And we only got a couple of minutes here. The Sanchez story will not go away. You guys have not made a public pronouncement as to what the verdict is going to be. Will your success or lack thereof over the next few days prior to the trade deadline in acquiring another starter, will that make the decision on Sanchez for you?
I suppose that it could heavily influence it, but he's too good for us to allow a, you know, other alternatives to dictate that. It can certainly play into it, but Aaron has become one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball, so we'll put our team's interest and Aaron's interest at the forefront, and alternatives could certainly have a play in what or some influence over what we ultimately decide. But it's a, you know, it is the way that we're approaching it to allow things to develop a bit and see what the market tells us and what's available to us, as opposed to making a decision before and making the market smaller.
Here's a few names that you will be familiar with, historically at least. Jimmy Key, Boomer Wells, Todd Stottlemyer, Pat Henken. You know what they all have in common?
Were they acquired at the deadline?
Nope. They all started in the bullpen for the Toronto Blue Jays, okay. Pitched less than 70 innings in their first year, and all of them had jumps of, well, one of them was 150 innings when he went from the bullpen to the starting rotation. That was Jimmy Key, I think, went from about 60 to 210. Boomer had a similar kind. They all had big jumps, and to the best of my recollection, they all still have both their arms. So they didn't fall off.
That's great information. I'm actually surprised to hear about those spikes. I would be curious to hear about other workloads that may have occurred that maybe might have been in spring training, might have been in instructional league, maybe aren't as well documented, what the track records were before the 60-inning benchmarks were. So, you know, a lot of guys ask us about Marcus Stroman, too, and his spike that he's potentially going to face. And I think, yeah, look, every situation is different. Every individual is different. And there are examples and outliers and in some cases really sound, solid information like you found yourself there. So, you know, I guess what I would say to you is it's the entire puzzle. And that would be a significant piece of it. But, you know, their individual mechanics, their strength and conditioning routines, their ability to recover, how they were developed, whether they had a college or high school track record, what happened to them in the minor leagues. So the entire body of work is what we're trying to take in. The other thing that I think sometimes can be misconstrued is when you're looking at just, like I said, the documented innings and not over the course of an entire year, but maybe just looking at the season. So it's a really tough call. I can't be more excited that we have to make it, actually, because, you know, it's one, Aaron Sanchez deserves all the credit in the world for putting himself and the Toronto Blue Jays in this situation, which is a very good one. And secondarily, because he's been so professional and really all about the team first, it's really become a really interesting and fun topic and not one that's divisive. So I'm glad that people bring it up. I'm glad people are talking about it. It seems that people are genuinely thinking about it the right ways, and it's a great discussion.
Let him pitch, Russ. It'll be fine. Just let him pitch. Guy says, a kid.
You knew that was coming.
The kid's a Cy Young candidate, for God's sakes. I mean, we're now in uncharted territory. 22 yeah. years old or whatever, and a Cy Young candidate and a legitimate one too. You got to let him pitch. But that's you and DeBoss will make that decision, and we'll respect it. We may not agree with it, but we'll respect it.
Yeah, we're certainly prepared for that. I don't anticipate having consensus on this one. This is one of those decisions, and you know, we're really in a similar situation to where we were when we were deciding in spring training on what was best for him and the team.
No, I know it's really, but he's made it tough, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, we got to go. Jason Grilly's standing by, too. One of the guys you went and got who's done a nice job for you guys.
Enjoy that. You'll
yeah.
Enjoy that.
We're looking forward to it. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, pal. See you soon.
Thanks, Ross.
Ross Atkins, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.